In most of the great yeshivas throughout history, all of the course of Jewish history from Europe, Eretz Yisrael, America, in most of the yeshivas, the tradition is that the Zman, the year of learning, begins someday in the middle of August, and it ends after the last college final, someday in the middle of May. There was one yeshiva, one little yeshiva in Brooklyn, a post-war yeshiva, a famous yeshiva, the yeshiva of Beis HaTalmud, which maintained a slightly different, a unique minhag. They followed a different approach. They used to begin their Zman, Rosh Chodesh Elul, and they would end with Tisha B'Av. That was what they did year after year. And one year in Yeshivas Beis HaTalmud, the schedule fell out that year. Calendarically, it happens quite often. The year turned out to be one in which Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos. It was on Saturday. And when Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, so we commemorate Tisha B'Av, we follow Tisha B'Av, we fast. A Tisha B'Av nidcha, we push it off to the next day, to Sunday. So that year, Tisha B'Av was going to take place on Sunday. Reb Leib Malin, the Rosh Yeshiva of Beis HaTalmud, he got up in the Beis Medrash and he paskined before the end of Zman. He said, if Tisha B'Av is nidcha, then the Zman is nidcha as well. If Tisha B'Av is going to be on Sunday, then the Zman this year, the Zman, the time, the year of learning, is going to end also on Tisha B'Av the way we celebrate it, which means it's going to end on Sunday. Tisha B'Av is technically on Shabbos, we're going to end the Zman one day later on Sunday. Now, there's no shir on Friday, there's no shir on Shabbos, and Sunday was Tisha B'Av. And most of the Bachrim had family, had mishpacha, their parents, who were upstate in the bungalows. They were already in their homes upstate for the summer, enjoying the fresh summer air. And the parents insisted, they asked, they requested, they pushed their children, their sons, that they should leave the yeshiva and join them up in the country for the summer already Thursday night. And as you would imagine, the vast majority of the Talmidim, the rov mininu binin of those Bachrim, acquiesced. They gave in to the request of their parents, and they went up to the country on Thursday night, skipping out on Friday, Shabbos, and Tisha B'Av in the yeshiva. All of the boys, except for two, left the yeshiva that Shabbos. Rav Shimshon Pinkus and his chavrusa remained behind. And you can imagine, as they sat there in the yeshiva on Shabbos on Friday night, you can imagine the dead energy in the room. How quiet it was, how boring it was, how dry the davening was. But Rav Pinkus and his chavrusa sat there with a little bit of a grin on their face. They were proud. They were happy. They felt so good about themselves, such high esteem for themselves, that they were the two Bachrim, out of all of the Bachrim in the yeshiva, who stayed back for that Shabbos. And you can only imagine in your mind, as you close your eyes and think about the story, how Rav Pinkus and his chavrusa stepped towards the Rosh Yeshiva after Meiriv that night, Friday night, how they walked towards the front of the Beis Medrash, approaching Rav Leib Malin, and they stuck out their hands for a good Shabbos bracha, and they just imagined, they just dreamed of the smile, of the congratulations, of the praise they were going to get from the Rosh Yeshiva for having remained in Yeshiva. And they stuck out their hands to say good Shabbos to Rav Leib, and Rav Leib Malin stuck out his hand, he looked directly at them, and he said, good Shabbos, Abar Yashar Koyach, good Shabbos, but you don't deserve a shkayach. And with that, they walked away. And I once heard Rav Twersky Shlita repeat this maisa, and he said a characteristically wise, a penetratingly wise, darher, a pshat in this maisa. He explained the pshat, the understanding of the story, is not that Rav Leib Malin is telling us you never deserve a shkayach. It's not that we should never be proud of ourselves. It's not that our rebbeim should never show pride in us. It's not that we should never congratulate ourselves or feel chizuk in what we've done. It's that a person during the course of his life has to pay very careful attention, has to be very, very cognizant and distinguish in his life between what is expected of him and what is lifnim mishuras hadin. The second we begin to blur those lines, the second we begin to believe that something we did was lifnim mishuras hadin, was extra credit, it surpassed what was asked of us, the second that we start to think that we did more than was requested, then we start to realize that's our peak. That's the summit. That's our goal. We've reached that, and there's not all that much more room to grow. Says Rav Leib, you don't deserve a shkayach for staying in yeshiva until the end of Zman. That's expected of you. You're supposed to be in yeshiva right now. You deserve a shkoyach when you go above and beyond. And we'll blow the trumpets for you. We'll roll out the red carpet. We'll explode confetti and streamers everywhere. We'll make it like an invocation of a president of Hawaii. We'll make it serious. We'll make it like a Max basketball game. It'll be exciting. But just realize the difference, the distinction between something which is expected of you and something which is above and beyond. Something which surpasses, something which is lifnim, mishuras ha-din. This is not just a maisa. This is not just a sharp, witty, cute comment, a maimra of a gadol from the previous door. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. Zeh klal gadol b'tam b'Torah. Zeh klal gadol in all of Avodas Hashem. It is a fundamental, foundational, all-encompassing, guiding principle which we need to internalize, recognize, and actually actualize at some point if we're going to achieve and to grow as aspiring b'nei yeshiva and b'nei Torah. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us in the second parak, im lamadata Torah harbeh. If you learned a lot of Torah, if you spent a lot of time learning morning Seder, afternoon Seder, night Seder, you spent years in the base medrash, lamadata Torah harbeh, al tachzik tova la'atzmecha. Don't pat yourself on the back. Don't give yourself a shkayah. Don't congratulate yourself. Don't hold yourself in such high regard. Im lamadata Torah harbeh, al tachzik tova la'atzmecha. Why? Ki l'kach notzarta. That's what you were created to do. That's your job. You learned a lot of Torah. The Torah says to learn all the Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu asked you. That's the Ratzon Hashem. That's what you're supposed to. Never mind that. It's super geschmack. You don't get a shkayach for learning a lot of Torah. Al tachzik tova la'atzmecha. In fact, later in Pirkei Avos, in the sixth parak, the famous brisa of the Mem Ches Kinyan HaTorah, the way we acquire, the way we make a kinyan on Torah, that we're actually matzliach in Torah in the course of our lives. The Chazal tell us there as well, one of the kinyanim, I think the 29th kinyan of the 48, is eino machzik tova le'atzmo, someone who does not congratulate himself, someone who does not pat himself on the back, say to himself, shkayach, I'm so proud of you for having learned Torah, im lamadta Torah harbeh, al tachzik tova le'atzmecha. Why? Why is it so important not to be self-congratulatory for learning Torah? Why is it so important not to pat yourself on the back? Why is that one of the kinyanim by which it's necessary, it's mandated that you have that approach to life if you want to accomplish a kinyan Torah? Why is that so important? Says the Maharal in his commentary on Pirkei Avos there in the sixth parak. The Maharal says, because the second the person thinks that he's achieved lifnim mishuras hadin by learning Torah, I'll read for you, Shem machzik tova, he holds himself in high regard, he pats himself on the back, he congratulates himself for learning Torah, Shem machzik tova, livasof, hu posek mi divrei Torah. What we said a second ago, if a person thinks to himself, shkayach, roll out the red carpet, I learned a full zman, I learned a full seder, I did in battle, I was matzliach in my learning, and I'm machzik tova la'atzmi, and I hold myself up for that. The second I think that, levasof, what that leads to, is a person stops. He ends his striving, his yearning for learning Divrei Torah, because he's reached the peak. He's done with lifnim mishuras hadin. It's more than was asked of him, and he holds he was matzliach. That's the end of his striving. That's the end of his yearning. It was extra credit, and there's not all that much more room to grow after that. The Mishnah earlier in Pirkei Avos, Shammai tells us, and more ma'at v'aseh harbeh. And the way we generally tend to interpret that is that and more ma'at v'aseh harbeh, say very little, but do a lot of action, do a lot. Speak softly and carry a big stick, two separate statements that complement each other very nicely. But Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, it's quoted in Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner says it's not supposed to be understood that way. This is a single conditional statement. Shammai says, aseh taraska keva, learn Torah steadfastly, consistently, constantly, always learn Torah. And more ma'at ve'aseh harbeh. One statement. Listen to this. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, and more ma'at. A person needs to tell himself ma'at. Ay, the Torah is so vast. The Torah is so big. What have I learned? A couple of psukim? A couple of blot? A ramban ala Torah? The Torah is humongous. Ein ladavar sof. How am I supposed to be able to conquer this entire Torah? And more ma'at. Tell yourself, it's just the tip of the iceberg. It's just a drop in the ocean. Rechava min hayam. The Torah is so vast and I've accomplished so little. And more ma'at. And if and more ma'at, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, if you say it's only ma'at, if you tell yourself, I've barely done anything, ma'at, just a tipa min hayam, then aseh harbeh. Then a person has left himself the room to grow. He's left himself the opportunity to aseh harbeh because ma'at, he thinks, I've done so little. I've accomplished so little in my life. I've learned a couple of blot.
A couple of words of Chumash, a couple of words of Rishonim, a Shem Shmaitza here or there epis, but it's so little and more ma'at ve'asei harbei. Then the opportunity is there to do so much more and more ma'at ve'asei harbei. Rav Avadya Yosef Toledano, a grandson of Rav Avadya Yosef, named for him as well, he records an interesting anecdote. It's not a one-time event that happened consistently, he says, but when they used to have a simcha in the family, when there would be a party, and they would want the Zayda, Rav Avadya Yosef, to come to the party, so someone from the Mishpacha, someone from the Bnei HaMishpacha, someone from the family, had to go in El HaKodesh Pnima. They had to walk into Rav Avadya's study, they had to try to interrupt him from his learning, bottle him from his Talmud Torah, pull him away from his Svarim, which he sat on for the entirety of his life, and try to say, Zaydi, Zaydi, you have to come to the Bris Milah, to the wedding, to the Bar Mitzvah, whatever the Simcha was, Rav Avadya Yosef, we need you to stop learning and come to the family Simcha. And they would walk into the study, and Maisim B'chol Yom, every time this happened, Rav Avadya Yosef would have a similar response. They would say, Zayda, you know, they tug on his sleeve. They say, Zayda, we need you to come to the Bar Mitzvah starting in a half hour. And Rav Avadya Yosef would look up at them, and he would scream, Ma Atem Rotzim Yimeni, what do you want from me? Atem Rotzim, listen to this, Atem Rotzim She'amut Am Haaretz, you want me to die in Am Haaretz? That's what Rav Avadya Yosef would respond. 70 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old, he conquered Kol HaTorah Kula Mamish. Everything under his belt, everything on the tip of his tongue. And he was the greatest halachic mind, or one of the greatest halachic minds of his generation, of more than just his generation, one of the most prolific authors in the history of Talmud Torah. Rav Avadya Yosef, at 70, 80, and 90 years old, feared his greatest nightmare, dying in Am Haaretz. Pachad Kodim. But if a person has a mindset of lekach notzarta, if a person says to himself constantly, and more, me'at, how little I've accomplished, how vast is the Torah, how much is there for me still to do, and more me'at, asei harbe. He'll never want to die in Am Haaretz. He'll always feel there's more to do. Lekach notzarta, there's no patting myself on the back. There's no b'raisa shkayach for having learned for 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, for writing so many dozens of svarim. There's no shkayach that I could deserve that would tell me to be ma'asik tova la'atzmi in such a way that I wouldn't fear the ultimate nightmare of not doing harbe, of not conquering the rest of the world of Torah. That was Rav Avadya Yosef, but that's what Chazal demand of all of us. And more ma'at ve'arsei harbe, al tachzik tova la'atzmecha ki lekach notzarta. Powerful, important, challenging, but also difficult to achieve, no? How does a person accomplish that? How does a person cultivate a personality of lekach notzarta? How does a person start to convince himself that there's so much more, that he's accomplished so little, that he doesn't deserve the shkayach every time he feels like patting himself on the back? So if we read a little bit in our parsha, in Parshas B'Shalach, the psukim tell us that just about 2 months into the travel out of Mitzrayim in the desert, Klai Yisrael are just recently freed miraculously through all of the Nisim B'Niflos, Nisim that we'll never see again, Nisim that we had never seen until then, from Mitzrayim. And the Klai Yisrael are traveling in the desert, Vayisu Me'elim Vayavo, called Das B'nai Yisrael, Midbar Sin. Say the psukim, Vayilonu Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael. All of Klai Yisrael complain al Moshe the al Aaron Vamidbar there in the desert, and they say, Vayomru Aleihem B'nai Yisrael, Mi Yitain Musenu B'yad Hashem Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Why not just let us die in Egypt? Why not just let us die in Mitzrayim? Bishop Tenu al Sira Basar Bachlin Lechem Lasova Kiotsesem Osanu El Amidbar Hazel Lahamis Eskol Akal Hazel Barav. You took us out of Mitzrayim to kill us, to destroy us here in the desert, Barav, with starvation. We're going to starve to death. And the Mefarshim are doubly bothered by these psukim. Two issues they have with these psukim. First of all, a Klal Yisrael had just experienced all the nisim v'niflos of Yitzias Mitzrayim, are concerned that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can't find some meat, some bread, some water for them in the Midbar. That's the biggest miracle that a Kadosh Baruch Hu could perform. He just performed 10 of the biggest miracles on Kriyas Yamsuf. We've never seen anything like that, and we don't really think we're going to see something much like that in the future. And the Klal Yisrael are nervous he can't give them sustenance in the desert. Secondly, and the Ramban deals with this, we don't find anywhere in the Psukim before this that the Psukim tell us that Klal Yisrael were hungry. If Klal Yisrael were missing their meals, if they weren't eating breakfast every day, this is the first we're hearing of it. But the Pesukim don't tell us that. So what's going on over here that the Klal Yisrael are complaining, and why is it that's the first we're hearing of this complaint? So the Sfasemis has a beautiful chat over here. The Sfasemis says, this is amazing. He says, the Ra'av described in these Pesukim is not a physical hunger. Bnei Yisrael received plenty of good meals, high quality bread, high quality water. They had all the things they needed physically to sustain themselves. They were nizba. They had total, complete satiation in terms of physical hunger. They didn't want for anything. But lo ra'av la lechem velo tzama la mayim kim lishmoa es divrei Hashem. The Navi Amos tell us there's going to come a time, and Sfasemis says it was a time that already happened, where the Klal Yisrael were not worried about eating physically. They weren't wanting for lechem gashmi, for physical bread, but rather they were yearning, they were starving, they were thirsting for a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They yearned for Dvar Hashem, they thirsted for a kesher to Kedusha, and they were starving for that relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer them? How does He give back to them? Vayom Hashem al Moshe, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hinini mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to feed us, if He wanted to give us bread, says the Sfasemis, if we were starving and needed to be fed with physical food, then I know what He should have done for us. He should have given us lechem min haaretz, the same food we eat every day. Says the Torah, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, no. Hinani mamtir lachem, I'm giving to you lechem min hashamayim. Not a lechem of physicality. Not a food that sustains you when you're starving in a physical way. But a lechem min hashamayim of ruchnius. Dvar Hashem, they were rotzed lishmo dvar Hashem. That was their rotzon, they yearned, they starved to reach out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and feel that connection. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu responds min hashamayim with that lechem. He gives them that connection. He affords them that relationship. He establishes that bond between the two of them, between the Klal Yisrael and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the man. It's not a physical bread. It's not only a physical sustenance. It's lishmoa es divrei Hashem. Says the Medrash, poseach es yadecha umazbia lechol chai ratzon. Kifi haratzon, says the Sfasemis, what we desire in accordance with our desire, tihye hahazana. That's what the sustenance will be. If you yearn for bread and water and meat and food, you'll get that from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He can provide that, no problem whatsoever. He'll give you whatever physical sustenance you may need. But if you want something more, if you yearn for more than that, if you want lishmoa as divrei Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu kifi haratzon, according to your desire, according to what you starve for, what makes you hungry, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give to you. That is the sustenance He will provide for you. If it stops at physical food, that's what He'll do for you. No problem, no questions asked. You can take it at the counter and go home. But if you want something more, lishmoa es divrei Hashem, lechem min hashamayim, then you need to starve for that. You need to want that badly. You need to feel the pain of the hunger, the emptiness inside of you. You need to emor ma'at. You need to say to yourself, I have nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give me more. Asay harbe. Al tachzik tov la'atzmecha. I don't feel satiated with the Torah I've learned. I don't feel satiated with the midos I've acquired. I don't feel like I've completed my task. I'm starving for Dvar Hashem. Then hinani mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim. Back to Rav Avadya Yosef for 1 second. When Rav Avadya was a bacher learning in yeshiva, so Rav Shalom Cohen relates that during the time of Chanukah, over the weekend of Chanukah, the minhag in the yeshiva was that the bacherim would leave for just a few days, a long weekend, for a little bit of a nofesh, a little vacation during the days of Chanukah. And as you would expect, there was only one bacher, one boy in the yeshiva who stayed behind. Rav Avadya, our hero, stayed behind in the yeshiva during that long Shabbat, that long weekend. And listen to this, because the story doesn't end there. It's not just that Rav Avadya Yosef couldn't leave when everyone else left the yeshiva. It's not just that he stayed back during that unofficial Bein HaZmanim in the middle of Zman. He didn't suffice with that. Says Rav Shalom Cohen, when they left the yeshiva, they saw Rav Avadya Yosef open up a Maseches Bava Kama, Daf Beis. When they came back 4 days later, they saw Rav Avadya Yosef sitting in the same seat, Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Tes. Because if a person is full and he's satisfied and he's satiated, because he stayed in yeshiva when everyone else left, that's the end of the road. That's the shkayach. That's the streamers. That's the confetti. That's the exciting moment. But if a person feels, no, lekach no tzarti, my job is to be in yeshiva. Why would I leave yeshiva in the middle of a zman? Why would I leave yeshiva in the middle of a masechta? If a person is starving not to be the only person who stays back, but he's starving for a maseches bava kama, if he's starving for a maseches bava basra, if he's starving for an asei harbe, if he's a more ma'at and realizes how empty his stomach is, how ra'av lola lechem, how tzama lola mayim, how much he thirsts and he starves himself for Dvar Hashem, then a person has an opportunity to achieve so much more. Because he doesn't give himself a shkoyach. He doesn't pat himself on the back. He doesn't congratulate himself when he does what he's supposed to do. If you're in this room right now, I can make you a guarantee. It's a guarantee. You're from the most motivated, you're from the most serious, strong-willed, impressive of our base medrash. Absolutely, hands down. You're a lomei Torah, you're a mevakesh, you're growth-oriented, you're an oved Hashem, you're all of the above, and because of this, you're on a natural trajectory. If you just stay the course, you're on a natural trajectory to become an outstanding balabas, or an outstanding rabbi, or even a Rosh Yeshiva. You're on track for that. But if you don't feel kilkach no tsarta, if you don't realize that you're supposed to be the best balabas, you're supposed to be a great rabbi, you're supposed to be a big Talmud Chacham, if you pat yourself on the back and you give yourself a shkoyach for being here right now, for being from the cream of the crop, then that is the end of the road for us. If a person congratulates himself for davening passionately, he congratulates himself for not missing Night Seder, for not missing the boat during Night Seder, he gives himself a shkoyach for knowing the basic Shach Levatari of the Gemara, then that's wonderful, it's critical, it's necessary, and all the power to you, but it'll stop there. But if that is not the end of your road, if it's a more ma'at, then I guarantee you asei harbe. I guarantee you that second half of the conditional statement, I guarantee you that promise of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, of the Maharal, of Rav Avadya Yosef, that if we push ourselves and starve ourselves for Dvar Hashem, then we have a chance to accomplish so much more. We just can't take an undeserved shkayach. If you give yourself a shkayach for being here for these 2 weeks, you are depriving yourself of an incalculably greater shkayach in 2 weeks from now. You need to sit down and spend these weeks starving for Dvar Hashem. I can't and I won't end with a shkayach. It wouldn't fit the rest of the speech. But I can and I will end with a bracha, and I'll invoke the psukim, the pasuk, in Parshas Ekev. The pasuk says, it's a strange bracha, but hopefully it'll resonate with all of you and the Ribono Shalom for all of us. Vayyancha vayarivecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should torture you. He should starve you. He should make you feel the poignant pangs of hunger deep in your gut for the next 2 weeks and for the rest of your life. You should starve. Vayachilcha es haman. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should feed you the lechem min hashamayim. I bless all of us, and I hope and I daven and I pray that all of us will feel that hunger, feel that starvation, feel deprived, feel the ma'at, feel the smallness of ourselves, and through that, lo ra'av la lechem, lo tzama la mayim, kiim l'shmoa as divrei Hashem.